WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
For more and more Americans, electronic products that barely existed a few years ago are becoming facts of everyday life. But along with the growing number of VCRs, CD players, car phones, and laptop computers on the market, comes a growing confusion about how much to spend and which features are truly important. Howard J. Blumenthal is a consumer electronics expert whose syndicated newspaper column, The High-Tech Home, offers tips on sorting through the confusion. And his consumer guidebook, The Electronic Home Advisor, has sections on everything from coffee makers to fax machines. A lot of people are shopping for the holidays, but I asked him if the best time to get good deals on home electronics is when the new models come out and the old models go on sale.
I'm going to make a very broad statement here, which is absolutely untrue when you take it manufacturer by manufacturer. But generally speaking, August or September is about the time you'll see the new products coming out. Also, sometimes around March and April, you'll see some new things coming out. The discounts are so deep most of the year that there really isn't a better time or a worse time to buy anything. Truthfully, you're going to see about the same prices throughout the year, particularly in bigger cities like New York or Chicago. So I sort of recommend that if you want something, go out and do the shopping and all that. Try to avoid, if you can, the Christmas rushes, particularly this late in the year, because you're not going to get the attention of the salesperson. It's hard for me to imagine going out and buying, for example, a projection television set without having the proper time in the store to really think the decision through and to really learn the product.
You say that you really dread shopping for televisions because it's especially hard to compare the pictures when you're in a store. For people who want to buy a new TV because they want to upgrade, not because their TV is dead, but because they just want to upgrade, is this a good time to do it, or would you recommend waiting because there's new stuff on the horizon?
Well, the new stuff is 5 years away, to be honest, and I'll bet you that's a conservative estimate. The new stuff is high-definition television, HDTV, and what we're talking about there is twice the clarity of the typical television set now. It ain't motion picture film. It's just twice as good as television. And that's a nice thing to have, but it's not something that is essential. And many of the television sets now are so good. Things have changed a lot in the last year or two that I'll give you an example. If you look at specifically a Hitachi UltraVision 46-inch television set and you compare it to a Toshiba 32-inch television set, both of these are among the best from each manufacturer, in fact, among the best on the market. The difference in brightness and in clarity isn't that tremendous. Yes, the Toshiba is a little bit more clear, but you know what? Not a lot. And when you look at a projection set like the UltraVision, you say to yourself, you know, it's worth having a 46-inch set at this point because the picture quality has improved that much. So I've become a big fan of projection sets as an example as a result of the development that's been done in the last year or two. If you had asked me that question 2 years ago, I would have said stay away from a projection set. I feel differently now.
You mentioned the HDTV, the high-definition TV. How will that improve the picture, and if you could give us a real lay explanation of how that will be done.
Yeah, what's the difference? Basically, there are 500 lines that make up a television picture. The analogy here is a newspaper photo that has the dots on it, okay? If you increase the number of dots twofold, it will be twice as clear. Same thing with television. If you increase the number of lines twofold and put in about 1,100 lines instead of 500, the picture will be twice as clear. The problem is, you've got to redesign every television camera, every video switcher, every television antenna, every television studio, every VCR, and every television set in order to do this. So manufacturers very cleverly are saying, well, if we're going to do this anyway, why don't we see what else we can change in television land to make it even better? And the best development out of HDTV is going to be a wider screen. It's about 20% wider than a typical screen now. And the good news about that is you will be able to watch a movie properly as opposed to seeing only the center portion of a movie or an adjustment to the left or to the right. You'll be able to see the movie as it was originally made. And I think that's terrific.
So the ratio of the screen is going to change to be more like a movie screen.
Yes, it will be more like five. Well, television now is sort of three down and four across, and it will now be three down and five across roughly.
So that's great. We'll be able to watch movies more naturally, but what about the old TV shows?
Well, one of two things will happen. Either picture information will be added to the left and the right, or more likely, you'll simply see a picture in the center of the screen, a little bit like when you go to a movie theater. Sometimes they'll adjust the left and right curtains a little bit to accommodate the width of the film. I think it's a good thing, but it ain't going to be a soon thing. It's going to be probably, as I say, 1995, 1996, before we have anything like a consumer television set.
Some of the new TVs have PIP, which means picture-in-picture, and that means that in one of the corners of the TV you can insert a picture from your from another station, from your VCR, from any input that you have going in there. Is this an expensive function?
It's not a fortune. It will add about $100, maybe a little more than that, to the price of the set. I usually suggest that people who like to watch sporting events, and several of them at a time, it's a terrific option for people who are into that kind of television viewing. The idea of having that little insert to watch the baby in the crib or something like that, I think is going to appeal to a relatively
What's
small
this?
Number
I've
of people.
Heard about
well,
this.
Another
you,
video input.
You put a camera in the baby's room and you monitor that while you're watching the movie?
Why not, right? It's a good idea. Well, here's another option. You point one at the front door.
Uh-huh.
And if you would like to have sort of the video version of a doorbell, and you watch a lot of television, you can see who it is who's knocking at the door. Being able to attach a camera is a nice thing to a television set. But to me, I would just as soon keep my $150. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about VCRs. What would you look for in a basic VCR?
I would point towards foreheads. Number one. And the reason for that is you will get less wear and tear, particularly if you do a lot of scanning. So number one, that. Number two, I would go for a stereo VCR because I think that's a good thing to have. You'll be able to play back tapes that are recorded in stereo. Number three, I'd look for simplicity of operation. And again, we'll talk about Hitachi. They have something called on-screen programming. And this is something that more and more is popping up from a number of different manufacturers. Hitachi did it particularly well. You press the guide button on your remote control, and you see on the screen a list of what functions you might want the VCR to do. You want to program the timer. You want to set the clock. You're having a problem, and you don't understand why the tape is not playing back. And it will lead you through a menu system. And you just simply pick off items from a menu until eventually you do what you want to do. It makes programming a VCR so easy that you really wonder why it has never been done before. Really profound difference.
If you have a basic VCR and you want to upgrade, what's the price difference between a basic one and the next step in an upgraded one? And what would you suggest looking for in that upgraded model?
I don't know that I would suggest going to the upgraded model so quickly, to be honest. The jumps are going to be about $200. Your $300 VCR will be a four-head machine, probably stereo, with a remote control. The jump up to the $500 may add some special effects, may add a little bit stronger tuner, but generally speaking, not a big jump. The big jump is going to be up towards $700, $800, $900, and more what we're seeing in that area is editing capability, which is a nice thing to have if you record a lot of tapes on your camcorder and you want to be able to put together relatively professional-looking results. There are a number of machines that are available now, but I'll tell you, at the Consumer Electronics Show coming up in early January, I'm really expecting to see a lot of editing VCRs, probably with prices beginning to go down a bit because this is becoming a popular idea.
For compact disc players, you advocate inexpensive CD players. Why?
Well, most people's stereo systems are not a fortune. So we start there. And you really cannot hear a profound difference until you get into the much more expensive CD players. And in fact, even that's suspect. Stereo Review did a test. Truthfully, it's 2 or 3 years ago and things have changed a bit. But they blindfolded some of their top writers and they played a $200 player and a $5,000 player. And the critics were hard-pressed to find the difference, and in fact, a number of them got it wrong. Now, that has changed as a result of the technology that's being used in making CD players, but I certainly would recommend that if you're looking at a low-priced one, that you, again, stick to a major company because you'll do better there not only with the product quality initially, but also with its durability. And I would get one that has a 0 through 9 keypad so that you can identify specific tracks that you might want to play. I would start there.
On the whole, are there areas in electronics where the prices are heading up and areas in other objects where they're heading down? You know, where you'd be better off putting it off for a year because the prices are coming down?
Digital audio tape, I'd certainly wait. This is something that's beginning to happen now that, in fact, is being used professionally more and more. But those recorders, portable or otherwise, are well over $1,000, unless you really shop hard, and then you may find one for $984 or something. But for the most part, I would wait on that. I certainly would not wait on television sets. Telephones have settled down. I think that's probably safe. Car stereos have settled down. For the most part, there's been more settlement in the last 2 or 3 years because there have not been any giant breakthrough products. And this industry has a tendency to go through product innovations for the top of a peak and then things settle down for a while. And I think probably we're going to be seeing in the next 3 or 4 years a few really terrific new product ideas. But right now, we're more in what I call a marketing phase.
Howard Blumenthal, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.